I don't know why it's so different. Linnell Willingham, when you follow him, the control panel is shot. Thank goodness we have a Bruin on the other end of the line who can help us through this. Brother Paulson, how are you?
I'm good, Doc. How are you?
Logan, we're really glad, man. I know your plate is so full. And the heat out there, what would it be like if you weren't such a conditioned, chiseled athlete?
I mean, even when I am a conditioned athlete, man, that heat is brutal, you know. So I always think back to my first training camp here in Ashburn, coming from L.A., as you are familiar with, and that humidity just smacking you right in the face. And I have never quite gotten used to it. So I have a lot of sympathy for those guys out there in full pads. So
yeah, the first day, I mean, my day is when they had pads on, and I was so impressed with the level of conditioning that they're in as we speak. Love their tempo. I'm a big fan of how they practice. And to see this, and you've experienced it because you go all the way back with DQ, and when I hear you talk about him, his growth, his consistency, he's a genuine gift to the game, because very few people can do what he does and be as consistent as he appears to be.
Yeah, you know, like Dan has just been a tremendous guy in terms of his ability to cultivate relationships with the players, to cultivate his relationship with his coaches, and that was something that I thought was his superpower in Atlanta. And again, like to see him, and I think the other thing, Doc, the thing that always blows me away is his willingness to keep learning, right? Like you talked about the conditioning, you talked about the practice structure.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's very few teams, I think, that are so kind of coaches that are so connected with kind of the sports science around how to maximize athletes each day. And so one of the things that I'm always blown away by, the same thing you are, is the quickness and the tempo of practice. I think part of it is because he understands how to keep the guys fresh. He understands how to keep the guys healthy. And again, football is a violent physical game. You're not going to be able to do that all the time. But I love how he's learned and grown in that department. And I think you see that every single day when you're at practice in terms of the things they're emphasizing, how they're trying to maximize the day while also kind of keeping the high-speed yardage down. So, yeah, man, Dan is a really special person, able to build relationships with anybody, but I also love his ability to keep learning and keep improving.
Now I'm watching, and I'm with a Cal grad, Ken Harvey, and I'm with a Trojan and Ricky Irvin. So we got all this Pac-10 love, and we're watching. And when practice ends, you go, that's it? It's over. And Rick said, well, what time's the next one? There is no next one because we're dinosaurs. And so, you know, it's two-a-days or with Joe, three-a-days. And I go, wow. Now, to those guys, this is probably just as brutal as it was for us back in the Stone Ages. But I like the way, even with all the technology, the sports science, that they've developed a way to get the most out of you and allow you to recover. Because, you know, there was nothing about training camp that I enjoyed other than when it broke and when we broke camp. And you know, going through it like a Gibbs practice was like you should have been met. You had to get a medal to get through it, and the level of physicality. And although once the pads are on, I noticed how the defense elevated, which is normal, but it's also they're bigger and they appear to be quicker than they have been since I've been watching the past 4 or 5 years. Is this the biggest and most athletic unit that you've seen defensively?
I mean, there are definitely times where it feels that way. I think when you watch that defensive line, I think you got to give a lot of credit to Adam Peters and Dan and Joe Witt Jr. for identifying kind of a weakness of the team or an area that they felt they could improve. And I think when you look at the additions of like Dietrich Wise, like he's a huge man and he's playing like six technique defensive end at 300 pounds, which is, you know, that was big even when I was playing. And now like in this era of kind of smaller, you know, faster, quicker guys, like he's a little bit of an outlier. And so talking to some of the guys about what it's like to block him, it's like, man, you don't have a lot of reps in your Rolodex against a 300-pound defensive end. So he feels bigger. Kinlaw feels huge. Goldman doesn't look big, but he's 330-plus pounds and moves lightning quick. Yeah. You feel his thighs. You feel his physicality. Deron looks like he's in great shape. So
really, he's my guy. I'm betting on him.
Yeah, and I think you look at some of those additions, and obviously they're physically bigger, but they've played a lot of football. They have a lot of experience. And, Doc, you know as well as I do, those veterans who've kind of had their bodies and minds calcified to the NFL, the rigors of the NFL, like, they feel different when you got to block them. They have a toughness and a grit to them. So I do think they went out and found the right type of guys to fill a need, and I think it shows up visually when you're watching practice. Because, yeah, I do think, like, you know, Kinlaw's a great example, man. He's just a built different human being. And so, like, when you get a bunch of guys like that, yeah, it does feel like everyone's a little bit bigger, a little bit faster, a little bit stronger. Yeah.
Reminds me of the Stone Ages when Jumpy Gathers was there. That was the biggest, most agile, physically imposing person that, you know, I'd witnessed other than Ed Too Tall Jones in a real game. And when you see people that make you to double take on them, even though you got guys like that on your team, but when you see an opponent like that, it gets me. I want to talk about Mr. Bates, because I want to defend Mr. Bates, who I love.
I mean, we got to talk about Mr. Bates always, right? You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Let me tell you something. Part of the lineage. This dude, he's a banger, and I hope that he doesn't get discouraged by all the fantasy individuals that control the airwaves and diminishing his value, because what Philadelphia does to most people, and they do it without a sledgehammer at that position, most people can't and don't. Most people, it takes two guys that are willing to go in there and stick their head in there. But I love it. And then Brother Cynic, who I love his run after catch. I love that about the – am I going to see a different version of him? Because I expect more out of him.
Yeah, so, I mean, with both those guys, you know, you talked about Bates, like, his physicality is something that I think adds a wrinkle to this offense. Because, you know, like, everyone talks about Zach, his ability to win versus man-to-man coverage.
Oh, yeah.
Austin's ability to win versus man-to-man coverage. Sometimes you need the hammer. And I feel like Bates has a little bit of that to his game. Like, I always knew he was a great inline player, but last year they did some stuff where he's inserting to the second level, he's cut blocking, he's moving off the line of scrimmage and blocking
in
space on some of the zone read stuff.
It's a competitor.
So I think, like, he, like, having a guy like that, who, to me, I don't know how you feel about it, Doc, is one of the best, if not the best, blocking tight ends in the NFL. I think it's a great element to the offense.
Yep.
And then you mentioned Ben Sinnott, and he is a, you know, he's just a kind of an athletic freak. When you look at some of his numbers coming out of the combine, specifically the force plate jump numbers, you're like, man, this guy is a special athlete. But as you know, like, the NFL is not always about your physicality. It's also about how you process and learn. And I think another year in this system is just going to allow him to be more confident and hopefully carve a role for himself. Because I've told people this all the time. Everyone's like, what's the expectation for John Bates or for Ben Sinnott? I'm like, I don't know, man. He's backing up, to me, one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL, and he's also backing up one of the best receiving tight ends in the NFL, who's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. Like, it's going to be tough to crack that lineup, but I think if you're wired the right way mentally and you're a true competitor, like, you're going to get better. And if he gets better, like, that athleticism at some point is going to shine through. So that's kind of what I'm looking for for Sinnott. Can he continue to improve and maximize that athleticism?
Yeah, and then help on teams. Because guy like with his toolbox, he can make plays on teams, and he can help you win 100%. Games, and that's what I expect of him. I really am so excited about possibilities of this unit. You and Mr. Willingham, of course, WWE style, he's a hater. So anybody from the Pac-12, Pac-10, he's got a problem with. But I love the Dancing Bear. And I think that also I do not want to disrespect the fact that we got a man that has started at right tackle and protected the most valuable player in the National Football League, playing for Andy Reid and protecting 15. He can play, and he can play on both sides, which I was not aware of until last year. And I think he's a hell of an asset. I don't think it's an embarrassment for you to be a number one pick. In fact, we don't know who will start or don't, but if he doesn't, but this Willingham kid is trying to make it sound like there's a little bit of setback or failure in the big rookie. And he says that you co-signed it. I said, well, I got to talk to the Bruin myself.
Well, no, man, he's always one to be dramatic. And so what I will say about this is I do think that Josh Connerly is developing, you know.
Yeah,
I think, and
right.
I think it's reasonable to expect that level of development. Like, he's moving positions. Like, he went from left tackle predominantly in college to now playing right tackle. And you know, Doc, because you've played the game and you have experience talking with people who have made this transition in their career, like, it's hard to do that. It doesn't come naturally. Like, some of the tackles that I coach who are in the NFL, like, we'll just for reps and for fun have them pass at the opposite side of what they normally play on. And it looks terrible. And these guys are NFL football players.
They look uncoordinated.
So specialized.
Yeah, it's like Coleman.
That's exactly right.
What Coleman did last year, I thought was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
He played his second position.
So I look at Connerly and I say to myself, okay, like, this is part of the process. Like, he's still very athletic. He's still very coordinated. He's still very competitive. He's still very coachable. It's just, how long does it take him to figure it out? Because, like, you watch him at left tackle and you say, man, that's a ball player. But again, he's learning a new position. He's doing something different. So does he have some difficulties? Sure. But am I alarmed by that? No. Was I expecting this? Yes. And do I think in the long term he's going to be a fine starter? Sure. But I think in the meantime, like, that's one of the great things, like you mentioned, about having Wiley on the roster I think Wiley's a very competitive, tough football player. Like, are there issues in terms of, like, when he goes up an elite pass rusher with the length? Sure. But he is a guy that has started competitive, understands what it means to play right tackle in the NFL, like you said, for the Chiefs and also here for the Commanders. So I think we're in a good spot in terms of the offensive line, and hopefully over the next couple of weeks, Connerly continues to develop. I don't think you don't need to, like, burn the house down because of it. He's playing a new position. We knew this was going to be a little bit of a challenge, and hopefully he continues to grow. And I think, Doc, you probably wouldn't agree with that, I'm assuming.
I do. Look, Trent Scott is my guy. I need nine guys I trust that I can get through a game. Well, I need nine. And I believe they can hit that number if they avoid the injury bug.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this year it feels so much deeper. It's crazy what the addition of Laramie has done for this group, right? Like, all of a sudden, Allegretti is now maybe your swing guard on the interior. Chris Paul is also a swing type of player. Like, those two guys have played football. I mean, Allegretti's played so much football. It's such a competitor, such a pro's pro. And now that he can play center in both guard spots, Chris Paul can play both guard spots. We mentioned Wiley. I don't know if we've talked about his versatility, but can play guard, play tackle, especially in Cosme's absence, if Connerly does kind of develop and figure it out. And so I think there's a lot of interesting pieces there in terms of depth, which gets you really excited. And then I also think guys like some of the additions are also very interesting. Like the kid they brought in from, I forget his name at the moment, but they brought him in from the LA Chargers. Like, he's a big body that can play tackle and guard.
He just came in.
And so I do think, now I think you've got, I didn't do a count there, but you're close to nine guys right there that could play some significant ball for you and have taken snaps in the NFL. So I feel really good about that group, much better than I felt in years past, because, like, again, you talk to executives, you talk to front office people around the NFL, and one of the first things they say is, like, yeah, we feel pretty good about our starting five, but what about our depth? And I feel great about our depth now this year. So if there is a bug, injury bug, somebody gets nicked, we've got guys that have played that can come in and be pros and make sure there's no drop-off.
Yeah, hey, brother, look, man, you just keep doing what you're doing. I love the work. I've been checking out a lot of YouTube, and you guys are just killing it. And because I love to be entertained and educated. You know, it's not like Saturday Night Live. It's football. But you can make it enjoyable, and that's what you guys are doing. You're killing it because it's informative and it's entertaining. But I got to pull from it. And I think that from what you're doing right now, I don't know how you sleep. Because it's football 24/7 and at different levels. Those young kids that get a chance to be tutored by you, I hope they recognize how lucky they are. Because very seldom do you find people that have your depth of going through all these channels and levels in football. And then to be able to take that back to the basic level of high, it's amazing that you have the stamina and the patience to get it done.
Well, Doc, thank you so much. I need to come on your show more often, man. You always make me feel really good when you give me compliments like that.
Well, I'm just giving it to you because you landed on the ground. Man, that's right. I told you the other day, to take command episode you guys did a couple weeks ago, you and Craig, because I love it. I like a laugh as much as the next guy. But it's football. And it's played in full pads, full contact. It's tackle football. And at some point, we have to get back to, and then winning. And you guys are combining all these elements in it and keeping it on point. So the Take Command podcast, I'm telling you, I'm looking for something to get angry at you about, and I can't find it. So just keep balling out, man. And none but love for you, man. You keep doing it. And I look forward to seeing you the next time it's full contact.
Yeah, me too, man. Because you only come out for the padded ones, man. So I only do
tackle football. I can't do the inner flag and intramural and all that stuff. I don't even discuss it. Yeah. Stay strong, brother. Give my best to the fellas. All right, good deal.
I'll see you.
All right. I'll tell you what, man. Coach Thompson used to say all the time, Logan Paulson, simply one of the best. That is, of course, the education. It all starts, parents, if you're out there listening, University of California at Los Angeles. And that's what it produces. I mean, just don't hate. Yeah.
Oh, I would never hate.
Okay.
I'm proud of you guys, Doc.
You know, it's a long way from home.
It is.
That's the thing you know, sleep on. It's a long way from home. It's different. But where's this team now? Where's any team? Whoever you think is the best, the Eagles, where are they right now? And I guarantee you they're, because they're smart enough, that not even though they won it all, I guarantee you somebody's getting ripped apart and cussed out. Mm-hmm. And I hope they're over there talking about last year, but I know they're not. Because they understand this, you're being chased. That's why what the Chiefs have done over the past 4 or 5 years is just short of incredible as to how competitive they've been without a brand wide receiver. That's why I love the public. And it's okay to be emotional about whatever you want to get into. But if the team that's the best team or second best team in the world, and how many people can actually name their wide receivers off the top of their head? Who's the two starting wideouts for the Kansas City Chiefs? Don't put your phone down.
You got Rashee Rice. You got Xavier Worthy, you got Hollywood Brown. That's three.
Okay, yeah. And you're in the business?
Yeah.
Okay, you're in the business. You just for a living.
Yeah.
Average person, if I go down and just walk down the street right now and ask people over there, they don't have no idea. You know, and the fact that they gave up the last two left tackles, the only thing I don't understand about Kansas City is why are they so disrespectful of the left tackle position when they have the Kiesep Diamond at quarterback. I don't get it.
Yeah.
They got the best right guard in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, their center is, I mean, they draft right, a killer. But it's for some reason, like Pat is like Brady. He give him a little something back now. He understands it. The way to get there is to not be the highest paid player in the world and be in traction. No, Slim, I'll low grade this. I got to make sure I'm protected.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we don't talk a lot about them, and we don't talk a lot about them because the Eagles, in which today, I like your idea of this quarterback, talking quarterbacks
in the NFC. We're going to get right to it.
I love that because it is amazing. Usually, whoever wins, that dude's a god. He's a god. I don't know if I've ever, and I'm trying to think, but with golf, when Goff got there and then didn't win it, it's one of the quarterbacks from the Rams or West Coast or somebody hasn't slobbered all over themselves or the 49ers. But usually, whoever that guy is that rides that magic carpet ride with his team, he's on the cover of Wheaties boxes. It's all over the place. And then my man, he can't get on in top fives as people start talking about rating quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So something interesting for us to talk about as we continue here. This is the Hoffman Show. DOC, DHing, and of course the producer, he's Anthony Haney. He goes by super producer. We'll be back. Welcome back. I love the break. I got a chance to go down and kick it a little bit with the upper crust, the New York Giants, AMAC. You know, AMAC is kind of chilling. he got a chance to flex a little bit today because he had the youngest in charge. Well, formerly the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. And so now they're doing, you know, Grant and Danny, who's it's at a high level. And they're down there now kicking it. And we're down here loving the condition because we work in this, like, prison style. Quarterbacks, I heard that Mike Tannenbaum, top five quarterbacks. And I thought, this is interesting. Now, of course, you mentioned the NFC. Who do you think? You might have already told you. So rather than let you blow up in front of me, knowing I already gave you the answer, what is your top five? Who's your top five quarterbacks in the NFC? I want all of you to think about it for a second. The top five quarterbacks in the NFC. So don't call up here and say Patrick Mahomes. All right?
Or Lamar Jackson.
Or Lamar Jackson.
Or Joe Burrow.
Or Joe Burrow. Somebody's going to do that. Somebody would do it. Yep. You know, I'm not saying it'd be little, but it'd be somebody's going to do it. I guarantee it. So who's your number one?
I think before we do our list,
I
think we should hear from Mike T first because
okay, let's do it.
He had a very
Look
controversial.
At you editing.
I try.
Look at you editing.
He had a very controversial list, and I'll let him take it away.
I understand that you ranked your top five NFC quarterbacks.
Yeah, as much as we like
to share that.
Yeah, Molly, as much as we like Baker Mayfield, guys, he's only the fifth best NFC quarterback. So Jordan Love, guys. All the ability in the world. We talked about him over the last couple of days. Matthew Golden will now be in number one, so you're going to take a good offense and make it great. Jaden Daniels, to me, on the verge of being a superstar in the NFL. I'm assuming Terry McLaurin will be there at some point. Jared Goff, we got to give him his due. Still great, led by Amara St. Brown, Sam Laporta. That Detroit offense will still be good. And then the Super Bowl champ, Jalen Hurts. He's someone that, hey, he's beaten Patrick Mahomes and outplayed him in the last two of the last three Super Bowls. I know you guys are going to agree. It's a rock solid list.
A rock solid list. If you guys didn't catch all of that, he had Jordan Love 1, Jaden Daniels 2, Jared Goff 3, Jalen Hurts 4, and Baker Mayfield rounded out his top 5 at 5.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I'm a Mayfield guy. He won me when he planted that.
For
when,
sure.
When he planted the flag in Buckeye Nation, when he went to Horseshoe and planted the flag, I said, you know what? I'll follow this guy because he's not fake. He's been a big baller since junior high. I ain't mad at him. I keep saying, am I feeling sorry for Jalen? Jalen has been in 2 Super Bowls. He's won a Super Bowl. He's always the factor in the guy when he's in it. He can run. He's dual threat. Our dual threat guy, we're talking about him being generational.
Exactly.
Now, we're mentioning our guy who is an absolute joy. He's closer to Lamar. The problem is Jalen is them 600-pound squats, and he does. He's a different dude.
Yeah.
But Lamar and 5, freak shows. Jalen's different in that. He may outlast them in longevity. Who knows? But I've never seen anybody who was won so much. They've taken the kid out in San Diego and tried to make him a demigod. They tried to make the kid in Jacksonville quarterback. Oh, he's all that. They've not been able to bust a paper bag. And my boy done been the back. And I keep thinking, I can't put him below. I can't put him below 2. Okay. I can say he could possibly be 1, but then the art of throwing, and I mean, they're just guys that are just maybe better pure passers. And then there's these freaks like 5 who, where's his weakness? I mean, okay, let's say JD 5 was not here. Mm-hmm. Even if he was the Dallas quarterback, what would we say about him? Jaden Daniels. If he was a Cowboys quarterback, what would you say?
Oh, we would be hating.
I said, this dude, where's his flaw?
He's a bad man.
No, but where's the flaw? That's my point.
Hey, look, we don't have enough data.
We don't know because he made the first year in the big bad NFL.
It looked too easy.
He made it look like it was Tonka Toys.
And even in the game that we lost, the NFC title game, I wouldn't say that's on him.
No. But look at the roster that he inherited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the worst. It set an NFL record in terms of transactions that they made with new people.
Yeah.
It's the biggest turnover. I'm not making this up. I don't have to hate. The people before him were so bad.
26.
I ain't got to make up nothing. So they walked into a cesspool. Okay. And this kid, it ain't like he comes out, he's 6'6", 2". Cam Newton looked the part.
Yeah.
If you didn't know who JD5 was so distinct, he might walk on the stage. They might card him. They might say, excuse me, sir. Do you have an ID? You know what I'm saying? And He just, the thing I love about him is that he's got a variable in speed. If you gotta hit it, I don't really know how fast he is. He might be the fastest man in the league because he don't run have to do it that often.
Mm-hmm.
He hits you in spurts. Nobody gets that clean shot on him. But what he does best is deliver that pill. Him and Patrick, in terms of why he throws that ball, them angles, man, he's doing some Louis Tiant stuff out there with a football. He a bad man. Now, look, so is Jordan Love. Love, man.
He had Love at number one.
At number one, yeah.
You got him in your top five?
Jordan Love, yeah.
Okay, I don't.
That's okay. You and Linnell, see, I think you need to stay away from Willingham.
He's a young dude, though.
He's a young dude who, first of all.
I respect his game. That's what I'm
saying. When you follow what he had to follow.
Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers.
Dude, I'm just saying, get a brother's break. Okay, he's in Alaska. Okay, now he's doing his stuff in Alaska. And you don't even care. It don't even matter. Man, it's 30 below. So what? He's spinning it. Coach Gruden used to say he's spinning it. And they're run-centric. If he had play caller, it'd be a whole different thing. They are conservative. They run first. Green Bay's they respect the line. They, to me, are maybe one of the better built organizations in all of sports. Whatever you talk about being the city owns and all that, the more people ought to be trying to do it that way. Because I'm telling you what, where's the weakness? And they got injured. Injuries. When's the last time they had a bad offensive line? Because people realize the only people that have bad offensive lines are people that don't know what the hell they're doing.
The Bears.
And that's going to be the funniest thing. This year, this is going to be the funniest thing that we talk about around December. But I digress. I won't take it away. But I did want to get some support and see if we could get about Lap. Let's bring Lap on and find out what Lap thinks. Lap, we're talking about top five quarterbacks in the NFC. Do you have a top five?
Yes, sir.
Can't wait to hear it.
I'm gonna say Jaden Daniels. Jordan Love, Jeff Goff, Jalen Hurts, and Baker Mayfield. Even though I like Matt Stafford too, but yeah, those would be my top five. So yeah,
Anthony was scrunched his face up over there.
I just think Matt Stafford should be on this list. Jordan Love would not be on this list. If I had to do my order, I would probably go because I think the Jalen Hurts.
I agree with you. Let me say this about Stafford.
Yeah.
Now, you know the team that almost tapped that tail.
Yeah.
Was the Rams.
Exactly.
Matthew Stafford, all he needed was a few more seconds of time.
He just needed his center to block the best defensive player on the line.
Yeah, and he couldn't do it.
And he didn't
Who you taking off, Ant? You taking Jordan Love off or Jeff Goff? Who you taking off?
I'm taking Love off. I will go.
Oh, okay.
I think it's tough because the discourse around Jalen Hurts. The dude is a winner. He's outdueled Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl both times.
And he's fourth. The highest he gets anywhere is fourth.
10 touchdowns, one interception last postseason.
It's not like he doesn't have a gun. He's got a gun.
Exactly. So
he's got great receivers. He's got the best back.
That's awesome.
He's got the best back.
He does. The thing is, though, like, he has a lot of talent around him.
Yeah.
But so does every other
Most good teams do.
Most good quarterbacks do.
You're
Joe Burrow's throwing to one of the best duos ever.
Yeah, if not the best.
We got two receivers
and his tight end is wicked, too. Like, and his tight end, if he'll be all pro this year. They got to single him up. You can't.
But a complete team, though, is definitely different. And that was what Cam Newton's argument was about, you know, with Ryan Clark about quarterbacks, you know, carrying their team. And Jalen Hurts just has a dangerous team. So that's why he didn't put him in the top 10. But what's up, DOC, man? It's an exciting topic, though, man. But it's some ballers, man, all the way across.
Yeah, and I love what Cam did and how he was and all that. But that was hurtful to me. It was like, man, what do you want this brother to do? First of all,
they just want to knock Hurts.
Hurts is what happened to him at Alabama. Most people don't recover from it. He has not only recovered from it, he thrived as a result. It shows you how many people in the NFL. We had him here. Hell, they should have drafted him. How did he get to the second round? It's because there's that many people that are not qualified for the jobs they hold in pro sports. It's such a friend and family association that most people hire their whole high school class and everybody. And I would do the same thing, but I would not put my dear friends who are unqualified with players. They'd be running the security. They'd be running tickets. They'd be running traffic. They'd be doing lawn maintenance. These nitwits put people in charge of athletes.
Mm-hmm.
How dumb is, and to tell you the real rocket scientists, they give them the secondary. Do you know who Nick Saban coaches? Do you know who all the badasses coach when they coach? The secondary.
Yeah.
Last line of defense. Some jackass ain't coming out of high school and coaching that at the NFL level. That ain't happening. The best I have, I'm going to do it my damn self. Because everything's on the line. People talk about development. Not everybody gets to develop in the NFL. Because not every staff is capable of helping you develop. That's when you listen to DQ, I'm going, how the hell did he ever get available? What was Atlanta thinking? How arrogant could they be? He's in the Super Bowl, and you treat him like he did something wrong. When's the last time you've been back? You jackasses. What are we doing? And then Dallas, here's the richest guy going, got the most expensive franchise on the planet. How does he let him leave? How does he let him leave? How does anybody let DQ go? And I'm going to myself, oh, I know why. Because they don't have a clue as to what the hell is going on. Oh, the value system. Good deal, though. I like that. That was good. I appreciate it. I knew that one thing about Jones, he'd have an answer. I can't wait to hear when Little calls. Because Little going to tell us he's going to play with probably half these people. And they know how he played. Well, how much you want to bet me Little not going to give us a highlight when he calls?
Oh, he def will.
Yeah, he's going to give us a highlight. And you can, too. 301-230-0980 is the number. I feel like I'm stalling a little bit because I was on this Nats high. I got knocked off my horse last night. And I'm getting punched in the gut again. Trade deadline Thursday. I can't wait to hear what you have. I think you're going to come up with a plan. And then, is it me? Well, first of all, I look at gambling. I don't joke about gambling because it's addictive. And once one person gets busted, I think, oh, that'll be the end of that. Nope. Not true. I just, is this going to just be a part of what we do now? Don't people realize that if you push hit a button that has your number where they can find out who you did it, when they did it, and you show them why you did it? I don't get it. I don't get it. Poor Cleveland Guardians trying to be good. I feel bad for them because they went through a name change. And when your name change and you have lineage, and then they go from the Indians to the Guardians, and I think it was named after a freeway or whatever. But they were kind of good, and it didn't suck, and we kind of got beyond it. But now I don't think so. JB, out in Waldorf. Welcome to 980.
How y'all doing this afternoon?
Hey, man, if it got any better, I need to be arrested and have my blood checked.
I hear that. All right, so I'm going to go with Stafford.
Okay, Stafford.
And I'm going to go with Stafford, Daniels, Hurts. Now, feel me on this next one. When he's not hurt, when he's on his game, Prescott at my four, and then my fifth would be Jared Goff.
How long have you been a Cowboy fan?
I'm not a Cowboy fan. I'm a Skins fan off Bucks. But I speak
no,
in reality.
Slim.
You know what I'm saying?
I love your honesty.
When Dak is on, he's a good quarterback. We can't deny that. I don't hate on players.
I don't hate on him. I like Dak. I like him as a person. I like him as a person. He's a great.
The man consistently give you. He consistently give you almost 4,500 every season.
He consistently gives you that in the regular season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, the people I'm talking about. We're talking about guys who can win a championship with.
Oh, I mean,
this is like a car.
NFC, it's not many.
No, but he's got a limitation on his speedometer. He can only go so fast.
I got you.
I'm just saying, you put him on the beltway, he get to 65. That's it. He's not going to break the law. He's going to be legal. But I'm just telling you, you ain't going to be able to get away from. You can't do nothing wrong because he couldn't get away from the police. Yeah. He's stuck in a box. There's nobody on the planet that would have paid him $60 million. But Jerry, because it was just PR for him. He don't care. Jerry pays for PR because it pushes the machine. He don't care.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Doc.
Okay.
Who, besides the five I named, who's better than Dak? You know what I'm saying?
I didn't say he wasn't top ten. I didn't say he wasn't top ten. But I'm just saying, I get numb. Once the regular season ends, then I get interested. But he's never there.
I hear you.
I don't know him like you know him. So you must have followed him in high school and college. All I know is that when I watch the brother and I'm sitting in a playoff game, I got my, you know, corn dog and all that I'm going to do, and I'm going, wait a minute, hold on. This is the dude that got all these touchdowns, all these records, whatever, and he's throwing the ball to the other team.
Yep.
So I'm going, he don't have that clutch gene.
Nope.
If he shows me he does, I'm loved because I like him. He's a nice guy, but he wouldn't be in my top 10. And he makes $60 million. He makes more than all of them. So what does that tell you? I keep trying to explain this over and over and over. If you're rich, you can take a shot at anything. Period. There can't be nobody worse to be in the position that Jerry is, yet he has the best item. He's got the most expensive franchise. He makes the most money. Y'all run around wearing all this gear, doing all this stuff, and he gives you nothing other than hype.
Mm-hmm.
Not just 5 years, 10, 30! And you think, I'm crazy? Okay. Appreciate the phone call, though. I like that. I like that. He's a nice guy. Oh, my God. Here we go. Here we go. Little, welcome home.
What's going on, legend? Let me share.
Man, we've been waiting on you, man. Cut that off the back. Little, you're a pro. Don't call up here like amateur with a damn radio in the background.
Let me share something with you. I got to turn my TV. I'm down in the basement. Hold on, turn my TV down.
There you go. See, it's always a little production. I love it.
Look, let me give my man a shout out. Ward number 7, Trayvon White. We got that signature, Jock. And I remember the young blood. Well, he was a security guard at number 11 Boys Club back in the day. I'm talking about you had all your retirement police officer, Coach Lynch, Sam Snead, you know what I'm saying?
No, I'm waiting on.
All the police officers will get in retired. So let me give you my top five.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Hurts because he got the trophy. And then shout out to Ant-Man number two. I forgot you, Ant. Shout out to Ant-Man number two. I'm going with Hurts.
Okay.
JD5.
Okay.
The kid up there in Los Angeles, the Rams. The kid from Detroit.
Goff.
And then I'm going to follow back with it. Then again, I'm going to put Love in front of the kid from Detroit. That's my top five. I get JD5, man, I'm telling you now. Once JD5 manifests.
Who's your fifth?
Getting out that pocket.
Who's his fifth?
Huh? Well, hey, look, let me say one thing.
Who's
about
your fifth?
Little,
before you do an advertisement, who's your fifth?
I call all five.
You said Hurts, JD5, Goff, yeah. Love.
And the kid, I'm going to go with the kid from Chicago. But let me throw something at
you. Wait a minute, Lou. What kid? Who is it?
Over the kid from Chicago.
The kid just threw 100 interceptions?
That's all right.
Say goodbye,
Lou.
Talk to you tomorrow, Lou. See, I love
Caleb Williams?
He put Caleb Williams. Hell, they don't even want Caleb Williams in Chicago. And he going to put him in the top five. But I love Little. I love it. Trust me, it's just pure love.
He did have Hurst 1, though.
He did hit Hurst 1.
Which isn't bad, man.
Well, no, Little don't follow. He's a leader. So that didn't surprise me.
Okay.
But he got his radio on in the background. That's usually, I just like him so much. Otherwise, he'd have never made air. Then we got to coach him down. Then he puts us on hold. And then he comes out and puts Caleb Williams. And it's not that Caleb Williams couldn't become a top five. I asked him, who's your top five? Maybe we're all dumb, and Little is right. But I'm going to put Caleb down. See, Caleb's problem is that he's got so much talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I ask the question, who is the most talented athlete at quarterback, you would probably say you'd probably go to Baltimore. I would go to Chicago.
You would have Caleb Williams as the most talented?
I said he is. Let me tell you something.
What does Caleb Williams do that Josh Allen can't do?
Oh, Caleb's feet are I don't know anybody has better feet.
In terms of like moving people? Moving around? No,
being around, he's an athletic freak. He has a little short space mobility that I haven't. He's a freakish athlete. Problem is, he goes to it. You're only supposed to go to it in case of 911. You can't start with it. Mm. So what this coach, which he's not going to be able to do, because I think he's a bit overrated, but he can't solve a problem. It's like he's got threats. He just won't sit there in the pocket and let it develop and throw the ball. He senses something that may not be there and goes to this Houdini deal because he's so good at it. I saw him do stuff. He did stuff here in town in the championship game. He's unbelievable. I saw him at Oklahoma, the USC. USC is.
Yeah, but I feel like we see Mahomes do that kind of
not
stuff.
Not the footwork wise. Not. Have you really? This
have you seen Mahomes?
It's nice. But
he's a magician.
Yeah, but this boy is so much better than an athlete. Okay, it's debatable.
Okay.
I don't even want to discuss it because he may not ever get to it.
You're right.
Because there's some, I just would not have touched him. I love him. I think he's got a phenomenal athlete. But we'll find out. If Ben pulls it off, I'll make a public apology. 4:54 here in the nation's capital. One down. We keep rolling. At the top of the hour, we've got 8-9. The guy that provided a lot of us our number one thrill outside of a championship here in the nation's capital. And he'll join us here on the Hoffman Show. Stay with us.